Welcome to The Other Coast, a podcast detailing the Malifameta in Los Angeles. My name is Jeff, and with me here is another SoCal player, former SoCal player, and now, well, and once again, because he's, you know, from back east, Maryland player, Jim.
Hey, Jeff, how are you?
I'm doing well. It's been so long since we've had you on. I think it was the Festivus episode that I just reflexively went into the Colgan intro.
I was waiting.
But Colgan is actually not here with us today. We have no supervision.
Mm-hmm.
What's Malifo been like in your area? I mean, I know it's pretty active, just judging from the people on Discord that I know who play there. So, you know, I'm assuming things are pretty good.
Things have been going well. We just wrapped up a local grow league, a slow grow league, that our Virginia friends predominantly were playing in. We have been building up momentum for the Richmond Open, which is later this month as of time of recording. Or I'm sorry, it's not later in April. I think it's later in May. But trying to get that going. And people trying new things. Ashes has brought some people to new crews. It's a time of discovery. How about you guys?
For us, we're, I guess, a bit on a downturn. Colgan still lives in Southern California, but he's moved farther away, so he is not getting to the store where we play at, a much greater challenge for him, so he is able to make Malifo there much less frequently. There's a different game store, or actually gaming club, that is more convenient for him. And, you know, we talk about meeting up, but we haven't been able to do that yet. And then we also lost another really experienced player, Dylan, who moved to Utah or Las Vegas. I feel like I knew for sure which one it was, but I no longer...
Those are both very far away, though. I mean,
Vegas is like a 4-hour drive, but it's certainly far enough to where they're not going to be at... a weekly Malifo. Mm-hmm. And actually this is something that's kind of been, I don't know if like hit our meta especially heavy, but we have tended to lose sort of the every week players are the sorts of players who move away. Like we had a guy, actually, I mean, you probably met him, Liam. You know, the Coast Guard redeployed him. And then we had Kevin and he moved to Alaska, and, you know, Colgan and Dylan. So, you know, it's a little harder to sustain a meta when the people who are really frequent, move away, because I don't actually know if it really diminishes the pace of games, because we have a large number of casual players who will play, you know, like a game every other month or something like that. Right. Mm-hmm. But because there's so many of them and their schedules are different, We can usually get games every week anyways, just based on who happens to be available. But some of the consistency and some of the knowledge base has been lost by some of these people moving away. So we're in, I guess, you know, what a sports team would call a rebuilding year.
Mm-hmm. That sounds like a good analogy. And frankly, for all the good our Virginia crew is doing, my local shop has been... there's been a lot of nights of... I guess there's two of us and no one else showing up. So I feel you there. At least you get the consistent games. That's good.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you get consistent games and, you know, people are learning crews. You know, we had a player who, again, you know, another player not new to Malifo, but doesn't get to fit it into their life all the time, right? You know, their gaming time is limited and their gaming time isn't exclusively Malifo. So, you know, you kind of got to square both those circles before we can get him to a Malifo game. But he picked up Lindley. It was his first game yesterday. We kind of worked through it. You know, that's not the easiest crew to come back to Malifo with, or to, you know, play on you know, like a semi-occasional basis. But he seemed to enjoy the game and to enjoy the crew. And one thing I will say about these Ashes, Madness crews, is that I think, you know, they've drawn a lot of interest. And Of course, Malifaux does a great job, I think, across the board with aesthetics, but there does seem to be something about these Madness crews that are really hitting where people are at, right? I mean, people love Castor just based on the look. I mean, almost everyone wishes Castor 1 had Castor 2's effectiveness because people just love Castor 1's appearance. And, you know, Linley, again, very striking. And so, yeah, you know, the Clampets, they're hilarious. And even Teary, which I think is more of a specific kind of theme, you know, there's going to be people who really love it. And then most people, I think, are not going to care or see much to it. You know, even Teary has fans at our store. So I would say the Madness Masters are quite a draw for people here, which is great. But it's also unfortunate because they are a little complicated.
Yeah, they've the fact that they are the most recent keywords designed, both from aesthetics and mechanics perspective, it really shows. And
yeah,
I would love to see more redesigns from Weird in lieu of new models, but we don't have to go down that tangent again right yet. But
yeah, actually, it's a good reminder. We don't have to go down too many tangents. In fact, we can't because we don't have a ton of time in this episode because we are intending to structure it as kind of like a Malibite. And our topic today actually is a Danger Planet event. So, Jim, to start off, could you just describe briefly for, you know, any of our listeners who may not be familiar, what is Danger Planet and who's involved and how did you get involved?
Sure. So for those who don't know, Danger Planet is the is a name that a organization that has a YouTube channel. They make gaming content, and one of their flagship content lines is Malifaux. The team out there, Doug, Brandon, Sam, and Rich, they've been putting out a lot of content and partnering with a lot of different people in the content creator sphere of Malifaux and with Weird directly for the past, I want to say, like year and a half, 2 years. And so they've kind of been trying to build a brand, and that brand is kind of focused on different aspects of the hobby, but they certainly have a bend towards the competitive. So they have, they're probably most famous for their tier lists, where they go through keywords and express their opinions on different models in particular keywords and whether they're, you know, hot or not and stuff like that. Not in a steam-powered scoundrel's way of hot or not, but in a mechanically are they good or not. What they have done is they've decided to host a GT coming up on July 19th through the 21st, and they reached out to me to ask me if I would be willing to be a part of their TO team. And so I agreed, and that's how I got involved with this adventure.
Sure. I mean, did they pick your name out of a hat? You know, how did, where's that connection?
So I've been talking to Doug and Brandon off and on for a while now. When they created their Discord channel, they, you know, I joined it and I was fairly active. And so they said, hey, do you want to, you know, stay on and help us out from time to time? And I said, sure. And then I didn't have a lot of time to do anything. And then, this event pops up and they say, hey, it's an event. Do you want to help us with it? And I said, you know what? This time I can make time to help. So I would like to help. And you know, I think part of it is that I've played against both of them at a couple of events now, and I seem to have made a decent impression. But also, I think they are looking to have folks who have been playing the game for a long time as TOs here. And it's because they've built a TO team for this event. And all right, let's not bury the lead. The main reason that they're having a TO team for this event is, this is the first Malifaux event I'm aware of that has significant cash prizes for the podiums. We're talking $1,000 first place. I think it's $500 for second, and 300 for third. So when you have money like that on the line, you want to have people who know the rules and, you know, can navigate the waters of a difficult call that might change who earns, you know, $500.
So how are you guys doing hills?
That's a great question. And in fact, I can answer that for you. Let me pull up the tournament pack, which ideally we'll be able to have a link to it in the show notes. But if not, there will be links to it in the Danger Planet's YouTube video about this event, which is honestly going to give you a whole lot more detail about the event from them than we'll go over here. Hills are hills, height 2, blocking, climbable. Models that move horizontally on a hill do not have to spend any additional movement for changing elevation. Hills add height to models standing on them as follows. 0 height if any part of the model's base is not on the hill. Plus 1 height if the model is entirely on the hill but any part of the model's base is on the rim of the hill. And plus 2 height if all the model's base is on the summit of the hill. So
yeah, I mean, I think that is one way to do it, right? I mean, just kind of, you know, for weird, one way they could do it is something similar, or, you know, kind of like, if the lowest part of the base is, you know, less than an inch, it's an inch or something, right? Like, I mean, there are different ways to do it other than how weird does it. I mean, I don't want to get too derailed on the hills, but so the hills are going to have a shadow as well.
They are blocking, so it seems like that may be the case. I will have to confirm with them on day of, but I think so.
Interesting. Okay. Yeah. I guess hills, I mean, hills are kind of a bete noir around here. but more seriously, I guess, could you briefly explain just give us the rundown of the tournament, the, you know, where it is, when it is, the format?
Absolutely. And I want to start by saying that the single most important thing about this event is that all the proceeds are going to Handsome Dan's Animal Rescue. This is a tradition we've seen, again, to shout out Steam-Powered Scoundrels folks. They've had the Good Things Happen event. I think this is the second year of that event. I don't have details about that. But if you like the idea of playing Malifaux and donating money to a good cause while doing it, that event is up your alley, and this event is up your alley. It is a 2-day, 5-round Gaining Grounds 4 tournament in the very unlikely event that Gaining Grounds 5 drops between now and then. I don't think it will. It hasn't been, you know, 36 months. but right now, the pools are out, subject to change. It is being held at the Embassy Suites Boston at Logan Airport, so you don't even need to leave the airport complex to get there. That's in Boston, obviously. And the venue itself is pretty sizable. They're going to have a ton of stuff there that's not just the Malifaux event. They're talking about having some Through the Breach modules prepared and people can run through on the Friday of. Again, that's the 19th through the 21st of July this year. They're going to have Magic the Gathering. There's going to be a bunch of demos for other games that they have on the channel. They've got Breach Storm, Moonstone, Trilaterum, I think I'm saying that right, Rumble Slam, and I want to see if I can get Snapships in there too. There's going to be a ton of gaming activities to do around the event.
Know the other side?
What's that? I hate to say it, but no, there is no, as far as I'm aware, plans for an other side event. I should bring that up to them and see what we can do.
I mean, or a demo, right? I mean, you just mentioned the list of games they were demoing or having on
yeah,
the side.
Yeah, but no, that stings a little bit, not gonna lie. But the other big thing that folks who are coming may be expecting or not expecting is that there's also going to be a strongly incentivized karaoke event for attendees to go to. Not mandatory thing. You know, I've gone on record, if not here elsewhere, that I have not had the best history with karaoke. The first time I did karaoke, I had the microphone taken out of my hand. So, but these guys don't do that to you. They really want to build an atmosphere of celebration and enjoying the game and enjoying the community about it. Oh, and the dogs are going off.
Yeah, I mean, sounds like you got some dogs that are excited for the Handsome Dan animal rescue aspect of the event. In a way, this kind of reminds me, there is a local GM. Actually, I'm saying local, but because I'm thinking in convention terms, right? I'm from Northern California originally, so the conventions I go to are the Northern California ones, not the Southern California ones. But there is a game master who's really well known, and his games are just a lot of fun to play in. And he throws a mini convention every winter, and it's kind of like this invitational event thing, you know, among the people that he's met at conventions and kind of has formed a rapport with. But there's just like a ton of really good games. But one of the things also is that, like, at the on the first night, there's this dinner that really everyone is encouraged to attend, and so you get to, you know, there's like this, I mean, of course, gaming is in fact a social activity, which is kind of ironic given how it's often depicted in media or whatever. Right. But, you know, there's just this whole communal aspect, right? Like community building aspect to what he is trying to achieve there with that. And so, you know, it just kind of sounds a little bit familiar, or a little bit similar rather, I should say, with you know, what the Danger Planet people are trying to do over there.
I would agree. I think they, as much as everyone is coming for Malifaux, like that is the focus, we all recognize that there's more to what you're doing than just coming to play a tournament. And so, yeah, it's trying to make it, it's like a mini convention. I think that's a great way to describe it. You're getting a lot more than just a one weekend event or one weekend tournament out of your investment coming to the event.
Sure. So I'd like to ask a couple of questions just about the Malifaux event specifically. Mm-hmm. You know, first, you mentioned the format, right? You, of course, 50 Soulstones. Is it singles only, or?
So it is. I have the packet here. Let me scroll around for it.
And
It is bands one. That is the only restriction on hiring.
So it's not singles then?
It is not singles, so you can bring second masters.
Got it. Okay, yeah, I mean, because I was gonna ask, you know, I know for the Malifaux World Series, one of the main reasons that they're, you know, all their events are singles is that there are just entire regions, right, specifically the UK, I think, that will not countenance doubles. And, you know, I've heard different things about whether or not doubles are balanced, and it seems the reality is that there are probably some problematic combinations that really kind of challenge the idea. But, you know, in fact, singles is a variant, right? People don't talk about that very often, but singles is a variant, and master hiring is the default expectation in the rules. So, I mean, I always think it's a little bit interesting the way singles has kind of taken over that sense of defaultness,
yes,
from what is the actual rule.
Yeah, it's kind of wild. I don't think we have enough games or experience as a community, even this far into the edition, to know if Second Masters is on average stronger or weaker than just hiring a single master. I think it's going to be kind of, as we, you know, take a drink, it depends. but the game was designed with hiring masters in mind. And I think that it makes sense that this event has that available. I do like the use of the bands format, because I think that in a competitive event, which this is certainly billed as a competitive event, one element of demonstrating competitive skill is knowing your counter picks and, you know, looking at things like MOBAs, where you get to pick and ban heroes, right? Knowing what to ban in the particular matchup is a skill. And I think that it forces players to be flexible when they can't just take, you know, the infamous Asami list that hires Minako and now Ban Ying in to make infinite paper demons.
Or sounds like fun.
Oh, it is. But like, yeah, I bans is a change. But yeah, it is funny that singles has become the de facto format.
So I'd like to actually follow up on the competitive nature of the event. I mean, tournaments are inherently a bit, you know, more competitive than casual play, even if it's among the friendliest people in the world. The expectations are just a little bit different. But also, you know, the cash prize, I think, you know, partly is meant to motivate, you know, people to bring their A game, right?
Mm-hmm.
Is this, you know, is this open admission, or is this an invitational, or, you know, is there an invitational division where, like, you know, you sharks can play and there's like a kiddie pool for the rest of us? What's the situation there?
It is open. The water's fine. Anyone's welcome to swim in this pool. It is, you just sign up on Longshanks to register for the event. You don't pay for the, it's $25 to play. And again, that $25 goes straight to the animal rescue. And that's payable on Friday the 19th. So the first day of the weekend. So you don't have to pay in advance if you don't, not sure you can make it. And the tournament can have up to 50 players. We're currently at 24 out of 50. So there's 26 spots left. And again, just sign up on Longshanks. The link can be in the show notes, and if not there, you can find it at Danger Planet's YouTube channel. If you hop on their Discord server, you can find it, or if you go to Longshanks and just search for it. There are many ways up that mountain. You can find it.
Right. I mean, that's interesting, because I think for, you know, for some events of this size, I feel like I have seen kind of an invitational division, or I'm not sure how really best to describe it, but you know, because the idea is that and maybe this is more for a single day event, because you guys have 2 days, maybe you do have the time, but you know, there is, I think, a you could call it like a division among the competitive players, and the number of people who I think are going to be truly podium hunting, or you know, like true contenders, to, you know, to the $1,000, to the grand mm-hmm. title here, probably much narrower than 50.
probably, and I think that's fair. I do want to emphasize that again. The prize is an incentive for good play, but there are other incentives involved here. They also have a best sports prize for cash. I don't have the exact numbers to hand, but I know that the top three people who are voted best sportsmen are going to earn a reward as well. And the best hobbyist, you know, like any other Malifaux tournament seems to have, there'd be a hobby competition. So they're incentivizing more than just playing mechanically well. They're trying to emphasize the sportsmanship and the, you know, all three pillars of playing the hobby. So,
right. I mean, that's a good way to do it. Now, a large cash prize is going to be, by its nature, eye grabbing. Mm-hmm. Long before we did this episode, I just, you know, YouTube, the algorithm shows me Malifaux stuff, and so mm-hmm. you know, just the screen cap on the you know, the scroll selection for this event mm-hmm. has the cash prize listed on it. So, you know, to the extent that you know, I mean, I know you don't want to speak for other people, but you know, this very intentional decision. What's behind it? Like, what's the goal behind having this, you know, kind of meaningful cash prize to it.
Again, you're right. I will not speak for the decision points behind it. My understanding, based on the conversations I've had with the team, are that they truly want to have a bring your A game kind of event. And they had the ability to provide these prizes. Again, all the proceeds, I know I'm harping on this, but all the proceeds are going to the rescue. They're paying out of pocket these prize mounts. So they're not trying to do this to raise money or enrich themselves. They're giving back to the community to try and encourage, you know, good play, good sportsmanship, and have a, ideally, a flagship event that will probably go on, you know, every year where people can go and celebrate the game. And yes, there's an element of, oh, hey, we draw your attention because big prize number. But you're right. One person is going to walk away with the top prize. But if everyone walks away with an incredible weekend, that's the real win.
Yeah, I mean, I think it sounds like a fantastic event with, you know, what sounds like just amazing motivations. In regards to, you know, you said you kind of think that one of the goals or one of the motivations is to really make this a continuing event. And, you know, in which case, of course, obviously, I think it would be a significant date in, like, Malifaux competitive live event calendar schedule in the U.S. here, right? How does it, if at all, interface with the U.S. FO Tour? Because, I mean, you know, the idea of trying to generate interest and kind of tie, you know, get the best players from the United States, which is geographically difficult to do, right? Like, it's hard for us to replicate an event like the U.K. National.
Right.
And just because of the size difference between the United States and the UK. And various attempts have been made in the past, and I think the effort is heroic, and I salute the effort, but I think the challenges have thus far proven to be too difficult.
Mm-hmm.
Is Danger Planet a part of the FO Tour in the sense that, you know, the results count for FO Tour stuff? Is it trying to... I wouldn't say supplant. I'm not trying to give this competitive aspect to the different events. But you know, just like is this an entirely separate thing that is trying to duplicate what FO Tour wanted to do, which is, you know, draw all the top players to a championship type event? Like, I don't know if I'm being super clear with my question here, but I feel like there are elements of trying to get the best players in America in one place to play their A game so that we can just, you know, see really great play. And I guess is Danger Planet, how do you see Danger Planet having fallen, or like, how do you see it relate to the, you know, those types of efforts historically and currently?
I see it as a supplement. I see the NAFT remaining the principal tracking body, and, you know, they're still going on. I'm sure you've heard, but for anyone who hasn't, North American FO Tour, every major event that gets reported in, I think it's Longshanks, gets automatically added to a big old spreadsheet. And the regions that have, there's all these calculations, but essentially at the end of a calendar year, every region gets a certain number of spots invited to a Masters Invitational. This year it's being held in Houston at Dragon's Lair. The folks over at Students of Conflict can give you more info on that. And they're actually having a side-by-side tournament so that if you book your tickets now and you end up not getting a Masters invitation ticket, they'll have another tournament that weekend that you can play in. Like that, as you said, kiddie pool option. This is just another tournament that will count towards those points. This I would put in the same classification as a Captain Con or a Nova event. So it is a, I think the emphasis on the good play is just because they are excited about the game and they want to encourage good play, not a dig at other events that are hosting tournaments that, you know, presumably everyone who goes to an event is going to play their best, right? But you may have folks who go to events and they want to meme a list or something, you know. And here they're like, no, we want to make sure that people play the best that they can. And this is what we would like to do to try and encourage it. That's my take on it. That's my read on it. Does that make sense?
Right. Yeah, I mean, that does make sense. And like you said, I mean, I don't think that there's any kind of competitive aspect to it. I just, you know, I didn't know if kind of their interest was a kind of continental championship in sort of a similar mold with what FOTUR is trying to achieve, right? Because FOTUR is trying to achieve it based on consistency. They're saying, you know, there's going to be events throughout the year. We're going to assess how people perform in those events, and then we're going to invite the strongest performers, and they will play out a tournament, and then we'll crown a champion, right? And that's definitely one way to do it. But another way to do it is just like, here's a big old cash prize, right? Like here's a big old prize, which, you know, we're hoping is going to draw, you know, the top dogs, which again, I mean, $1,000 is a good amount of money, but it's not a life changing amount of money. Right. So it's more just kind of like, you know, here's something different that we're hoping is going to draw really strong players and, you know, preferably just players from all over really. Cause I'm sure they're happy to see, you know, casual players and people who know that they're not going to win, but, you know, it's just another way I think of structuring a potential kind of championship level event. And I didn't know if that was one of their specific interests.
Yeah. I don't think it's intending to be, anything, grander than that.
All right, great. So we are running out of time for the Malbite format, but I actually had just kind of mentioned this as something that we could use excess time on it, but in fact I didn't want to leave without getting your thoughts on the global campaign that Weird has announced. You know, they haven't provided a lot of details, but you know, and we have to be kind of brief in this section because this is a Malibite and we are running over, but I guess, you know, the way to talk about it is I recall, and my memory may be wrong, but in my recollection, towards the end of 2, that campaign, Shifting Loyalties or Crossroads, I forget what it was called, but it was, you know, something like that. It had its own campaign pack. It was around the time, I think, that all the Masters got their second upgrades. And that was pretty much, I think, the last significant release for 2. And then, you know, 3rd got leaked early. But I guess, you know, what I'm asking is, what do you, you know, do you think that this global campaign is going to be kind of similar to the campaign they had towards the end of 2? Do you think that this might possibly represent sort of the beginning of the end of 3rd as a development cycle, and that, you know, we're going to start seeing preparations for 4th maybe? What do you think about this global campaign and what it might say for, you know, where Malifaux is at currently?
I think there's good reason to look at it as certainly a major inflection point. If narratively speaking, we've completed a trio of books about the rise and fall of the Burning Man, and now we have a character whose whole shtick is their fate is now like uncertain, and they seem to be very important with a capital I. That to me, for a company that prides itself on making narratively inspired models, something like this clearly shows that there's a new story beginning. I don't know that necessarily means we're looking at the end of 3rd, but we also do acknowledge, you know, it's three expansion books into 3rd edition. What I'm thinking of is, if nothing else, this is going to cover the next like chunk of time before we have a major release. And hopefully Weird can use that time to figure out a way to have a release that isn't just more models for everyone. But I'm very interested to see how they manage it, because I know some of the criticisms of the past have been, how do you validate, you know, the game results for each, you know, result. And so I'm really interested to see how they do that.
Yeah, I mean, on that specific issue of game results, like, I've never really been motivated by these global campaigns where the draw is supposed to be that, oh, you can impact the story. Because, first of all, you know, my personal impact is not really going to impact the story, just like in voting in elections, right? My personal vote is not going to, you know, so for me personally, that has never been a truly motivating factor to participate in these, pretty much, you know, in any game, right? Like GW had the thing where the Tyranids and the Ultramarines, right? Like, you know, you have to decide who wins on this planet or something like that, right? I mean, just all those kinds of ideas are pretty old in gaming, and they've never really been motivating to me. I am more interested to see if this global campaign might come with rules either for use in Malifaux or, you know, rules that are meant to be used only in these campaign type games, along the lines of what came with the I really wish I knew what it was. Shifting loyalties.
It was shifting loyalties.
Okay, yeah, I mean, you know, is there going to be, like, this whole card pack of you know, new stuff and rules, and or is this going to be more of a results tracking thing? And, I mean, obviously, we don't know at this point because the announcement is very thin, but, you know, Jim, what do you think, and what would you prefer? Because not everyone actually would want a bunch of rules, especially if they are only applicable for a side thing that they might not even ever do.
I would love them to include a pack like that, like a card pack, because I would love to have the option of adding a new game mode that is a campaign game mode. It not my cup of tea generally, because I don't like tracking, you know, from game to game the condition of models, but I know folks who do, like Frostgrave, right, exists. You have Kill Team, you have a bunch of skirmish level games where people track stuff. I mean, heck, Blood Bowl does it, right? You have rosters through the
Necromunda.
I think that there is a lot of room for them to explore that. And card packs are relatively cheap to produce. I think it'd be really cool if they introduced other characters like this, not necessarily like a bunch at once, not a, oh, everyone gets one, but now you got to fight over who gets which. But, like, the concept of, okay, we can have a neutral third party in the game that can have, you know, that you can impact.
You mean, like, first edition outcasts or something?
Yeah, something like that. Like, I think that would be neat because that would allow players to, you know, expand what they're doing and give them something else to do, but not necessarily have to buy a whole mess of new stuff. Like, if you just had... It almost becomes like a new strategy, right? It's just a different way to play the game.
Yeah, I mean, I can hear Colgan screaming, you know, no more models in third, please.
Right.
You know, a miniature war game company has gotta make and sell miniatures to stay alive.
They have to make and sell miniatures for games that exist.
Yeah.
Sorry, that was unnecessary, but...
I bought all the Kimon, which I have not played yet or even actually opened them out of their package because it is very difficult to get other side players here. And as Colgan has mentioned in the past, it's very difficult to recommend the game to anyone who doesn't play it yet because you don't want them to buy into something that you don't know might be dead-ended. But I do have all the Kimon stuff and I am hoping to get it on the table at some point. So, you know, we are over where we want to go. You know, Jim, thanks for coming on and talking about the Danger Planet event. It sounds really great. I am typically just too lazy to travel for gaming. I mean, even though I'm a pretty committed gamer in the sense that it is my main hobby, I'm also pretty lazy about it. But, you know, it sounds like a lot of fun. And so, you know, I'll look at my calendar for sure. We will have the, you know, links to various things and... You know, it shouldn't be too hard for people to get more information about it if they want it. It's always great to get you on when we can. You know, scheduling is pretty difficult, right? I mean, we don't have Colgan. Instead, we have Jim, which is probably an upgrade.
I'm bargain variety Colgan at best. Let's be real.
But, you know, we in the past, it kind of, you know, makes me a bit nostalgic because when we did start this like 4 years ago now at this point, The three of us were on pretty consistently. Of course, you were in California at that time.
I was not getting up at 6 a.m. Eastern. Yes.
Yeah. So anytime we can get you on, you know, that's fantastic. Hopefully after the event, we can, you know, do another little thing where we talk about how it went. But other than that, I think that's going to do it for us for tonight. So, you know, to everyone who listened, thank you very much. To all of our PayPal and Patreon supporters, you guys are fantastic. We really appreciate that. And yeah, you know, hopefully people will check out the details for Danger Planet and attend if they can. See you, everyone.
Have a good night.